What's up, everybody? I go by the name of Doggy Diamonds. You are now listening to No Filter Podcast. No filter means honesty. If you're afraid of honesty, then this ain't the podcast for you. We gonna be honest today.
Yeah. What's up, everybody? It's your boy, Doggy Diamonds. You already know Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. This is an episode that's crazy because I'm doing it live on YouTube. So y'all going to listen to it on a playback on all streaming platforms. But this is live on YouTube. The chat room is live in effect. And I called a homie like really, really last minute because he got a podcast. I did his show maybe 2 weeks ago. So I was like, yo, damn, I should do a live show tonight. Let me see what's up with the homie. And let's see what he's doing, even though he just had a newborn. But he said, sure, bro, let's do it. Let him know who I got on the line right now.
You got your boy Norms, you know, URLTV.TV, the Norms Little Podcast. Anytime you going to call me, bro, you know I'm going to do it, bro. So it's nothing.
Yeah. You know what I mean? I was definitely appreciative because I was at Walmart and shit, and I was going home. I said, yo, you know what, man? Let me do a podcast tonight, try to do this live a certain way. And you the first show, you the first guest this way that I'm doing it right now, live on YouTube. Oh, so Norz, Norz, we got so much to talk about. We're gonna try to cover in a short span of time. First of all, where's Norz from?
Where am I from? I was born actually in Bensonhurst, Brooklyn. The home of, I mean, if you remember Bensonhurst in the '80s, it was notorious for like, you know, it was racist. It was a little racist day, but I was the only Spanish nigga in the neighborhood. Born and raised there until about teenager, then I moved to Park Slope.
Okay.
But it was definitely interesting being the only Spanish dude in a neighborhood in the '80s. You know what I mean? So like, you really think about it, what segregation ended what in the '60s or something like that?
Yeah, it was that.
So
shit.
A lot of those same people that had, a lot of them same people that had them lease, man, I was still living around them, so it was kind of awkward.
Yeah, so you grew up in BK, you went to, did you graduate high school?
Yeah, I went to New Utrecht High School, man.
No shit. That's the football school right there, boy.
Yeah. Utrecht, Lafayette, all of them, man, all of the same mind.
Reason why I asked you, did you graduate high school? Because, you know, that's like a big thing. If you from Brooklyn, you graduated high school. Because motherfuckers going to be graduating from Brooklyn. I know. I damn sure didn't graduate. So you graduated high school. Did you do any college or did you just, from high school, you just went out in the field?
I went from high school, then I did some college. And then, like, when I was in college, I kind of was like, I wasn't really into it. It was kind of easy for me, to be honest with you. But I didn't really have a direction I wanted to go. So, you know, you like 19, 18, you're trying to figure it out. And then I just kind of just was like, damn, I'm spending all this money and I don't really know what I want to do. And then I forgot who I was reading a book on somebody. And they basically said, like, if you don't have a direction in college, don't waste your money. You might as well hustle into something that you actually really like. And that's kind of the mentality I took from there, to be honest with you.
So the hustling, was you talking about hustling, like just getting money, or you turn to the streets?
Well, not hustling, I'm talking.
Say that again, you broke up a little bit.
Oh, yeah, I said I was out of passion for like music and stuff like that. So when I mean hustling, I basically want to hustle in the field that I want to get in. And it wasn't like college course and the stuff I wanted to get into. Well, I didn't even know if you could. So I just kind of really hit the pavement running with that and tried to, you know, just establish myself in that industry. And I felt like college wasn't really going to help me with it. So I just really started just networking and trying to figure it out on my own.
Yeah, so I think when I first met you, you was actually managing Math Hoffa at the time.
Yeah. Definitely. That was like years ago. That was over 12 years ago, maybe. Yeah, like I was really hitting the pavement, like just trying to figure out the game. Like, to be honest with you, like it was one of them things where it's just, I really seen a lot of people in the streets just going hard. Just the mixtape game was really big,
very big.
You know what I mean, it was kind of towards the end of it. Huh?
The DVD game and the mixtape game was still, you know, very, very relevant. That's how you had to get popping at one point. Was either you was on a DVD
Absolutely.
Or a mixtape.
There was so many. There was the Come Up. There was Smack. There was on All Access. You know, you had the mixtape spots. You had Amadeus. You had a lot of different avenues where you can kind of just hustle. And I started really doing my research on it. I was seeing French with the, you know, with his mixtape buzz, and people just moving mixtapes from here to Connecticut to everywhere, and then the DVD game. And I kind of was like, you know what, I gotta figure out how to get on these things. And through that, I just really started showing up to video shoots. Like, literally, like, Mano was one of the first video shoots I ended up going to. I just pull up to the video shoot and just be like, fuck it. People would be looking at me like, man, who is this dude? And I was just there once. I'm like, I'm a network. So I literally try to show up to everything and anything that was popping at the time, and, you know, just moving, just trying to figure it all out, to be honest with you.
So let's skip. Was it difficult managing rappers?
It's always difficult managing rappers for the fact of a lot of artists, right? Their talent usually doesn't match their drive. And if you ever seen a lot of these rappers that actually make it, and people that yell, like, they're not even that crazy, it's because they really have a drive. Like, they're focused and they're moving. And I feel like a lot of artists don't have that drive, bro. Like, you end up doing a lot more. It's like you end up caring more for that artist and his future than yourself. And it's real difficult. When you're trying to push a table, you're trying to, you know, do the music, you really own your own. Like, you and the artists are really on your own. And, like, people start coming along later when you start getting popular. You know, at least that's what I experienced, man. Like, everybody was trying to dig in your pockets. I mean, at that time, to get on Smack, bro, you was paying a few thousand. To get up on a lot of these DVDs, if you wasn't buzzing, you was paying a lot of money. And that's all coming out of your manager's pocket if your artist is not in it 100% with you. So it was extremely difficult because you got to find a balance with an artist that's actually hungry and is actually willing to sacrifice as much as you. And I really ran into the whole thing of artists just relying too much on you. And it was difficult.
All right. So
everything was costing.
So you, let's jump. You went from the artist management. Then you was then you was just somehow, some way involved with URL. How did you get involved with the whole battle rap thing?
So with the battle rap thing, the crazy thing is I was actually doing All Access DVD. Shout out to my man Craze. I was doing interviews for Craze. I was actually doing a show called Amadeus Corner. And, like, I would just meet rappers and battle rappers coming up and stuff like that. And at the same time, I was managing Math. And Math was a popular battler at the time. You know, he was trying to make the transition over to music. So that's how I got involved with the battle shit. Now, when I met Smack, I actually met Smack at Mano's video shoot. He was shooting My Life is a Movie with True Life and Jay Mills and all of them. That's when Mano was before High Hater and all that shit. That's how I met Smack. And when I met Smack, I got his number, and we started networking from there. Now, how the battle thing went, at that time, like, World Star and all that started getting popping. And like I said, I was managing a battler, which was Math. And there wasn't really an avenue to make money from battlers yet. Like, it was still, they was battling to get their name. It wasn't even about checks at that time. And, you know, I would go to the grind time shows, the ones in the East Coast, just go, you know, check them out, see what's going on. And I would go to these little, bro, it'd be like little sneaker spots where dudes was battling. Like, it wasn't even on some, like, theater type shit. It was literally, like, sneaker stores with 50 people in there. This dude comes with his crew, and they just battle. And this is, I'm talking about when Arsenal was first coming up and everybody. And that's how I really started networking with them. And the crazy thing was, I wasn't even trying to get into the battle shit. I just happened to enjoy watching the battles and going to them at the same time managing an artist. So eventually what happened was, a Smack had called me. He was like, bro, I'm trying to do Math versus Rex. Because, you know, Math and Rex was always going back and forth. And Math really wanted to battle Rex. So we started coming up with these videos and stuff, calling them out. And Smack had contacted us to do it on the DVD. And it fell through. Like, it fell through more mad times. Like, it just wouldn't happen. Until finally, I'm actually in the Dominican Republic. I'm chilling. And this is around the same time when Joe Budden was beefing with Wu-Tang. I don't know if you remember that when he came out with that article.
Yes, sir. Yep.
And then, you know, they had put hands on him. So the day they put hands on him, Smap calls me, and Matt's like, bruh, yo, I'm thinking he's calling for the Joe Budden shit, so we kind of like joking about the shit. And he's like, yo, they offered me money. Lux is doing his lines and shit, and he's talking about HBO going to cover it. So I said, all right, so what's he talking about in terms of monetary? And he was like, he gave me a number. So I told him, wait till I get back. I'm going to get you double that. When I got back, I had called Grind Time. And at the time, Recipe PH was like, bro, I'll give you $4,000 off the rip, you and Rex. So when I called Math, Math was all with it. Now, mind you, there was still no URL. It was basically Grind Time and the Lions then.
Mm-hmm.
So at that time, I didn't really trust Lux too much in terms of business. That's when he was beefing with Sub-Zero and shit over money.
Yeah,
and you know, remember, it was just this big debacle over it. So I called Lux and I said, listen, bro, Grind Time's offering me $4,000. What you want to do? He was like, nah, you know, I can't match that, but this is HBO. And, you know, he's a Harlem dude. So, you know, Harlem dudes know how to finesse certain situations. And if you ever spoken to Lux, Lux can convince anybody to do anything. So at that point, I was like, look, Mav did a bunch of battles at Fight Club that never dropped.
Mm-hmm.
So all I wanted was basically, all right, we'll take the money you're offering, but I need a guarantee from HBO that if the battles don't drop within X amount of time, we get the footage to drop. Because that was a big thing. Because Math has, I don't know, like 10 battles in Fight Club that never dropped. So Lux is like, man, I really can't get you to talk to Russ or anybody in the staff. So when I called Math, I said, bro, like, to be honest, I don't trust the situation. I called PH, and he was like, bro, I'll give you five. So they basically threw out 10 bands.
Mm.
And Rex and Math agreed to the shit. We signed the contract at the Lions, though, and he was supposed to battle, and the shit was set. Now, fast forward a month later, he was supposed to give us half the deposit, PH. Nigga, September 11th comes, his Math's son's birthday. The nigga, I call him, he's ducking my calls, ducking him. I'm like, damn, bro, this nigga's playing me right now. He calls me 2 days later, told my bro, I need some more.
Say that again, you broke up. So who's ducking your call? You said Math is ducking your calls?
No. So PH, we signed into the battle on Grind Time.
Okay. Say that again, Norbs. Say that again. You breaking up for some reason.
All right. And we signed the contract at the Lions then.
Okay.
We went to the battles. So September 11th was the due date for the deposit.
Okay.
September 11th comes, and now PH is ducking my calls. He's not answering them. There's no money there, nothing. He didn't even text me. He calls me 2 days later, yo, I need more time. I give him a week. I'm not getting nothing with this nigga. Niggas are hitting me. Nothing. So now he got mad for Rex tight because they're not getting their bread, of course. So out of nowhere, Smack calls me. He's like, bro, what's good? How you been? Da-da-da, whatever. And Smack's like, yo, what's up with that Math and Rex battle? And I'm like, bro, to be honest, these niggas is flaking on it and they owe this nigga money, but they haven't come through with it. So Smack was like, listen, I got the money. I'm going to have my homie call you up and we're going to set it up. I don't know if you remember the dude named Swag. He's the one with Jim Jones in him.
Actual facts.
Oh, he was from the West.
Yes.
Yeah, mm-hmm. You remember Swag.
Mm-hmm.
So Swag hits my phone, and he's like, bro, I got the money. I'm flying in Monday. Mm-hmm. Now, I was like, all right, cool. I don't know nothing about Swag. I just know he come with the ticket. He flies from Seattle, gives the money. He pulls up with five beds. He splits it in half, gives half to Mask, half to Rex. And he says, but there's one, one thing I want. I want the battle to be judged.
Mm.
These niggas both agree to the shit. Then they agreed to the judges. It was Lord Finesse, Superstar J, and it was one more person. I forgot who. So it was supposed to be on a DVD, right? So all of a sudden, like a week later, Beasley calls me. And I'm not even rocking with you, URL. Like there is no URL. And Beasley is a big Ultimate Fighting, like UFC fan. So he calls me like, yo, you follow the UFC? And I'm like, nah, I'm really a boxing dude. I don't really rock with the UFC like that. He's like, well, we're trying to start this battle league shit. you know, like grind time day for the white boys and the backpackers and shit like that. And we're trying to bring back the streets. You know what I mean? People love the smack battles and stuff like that. So in my head, I'm like, so why are you asking me? Like, I don't know. Why would they come to me? You know, this smack, you got Jay Mills and Mook and, you know, you got the wild stuff. You feel me? And he's like, yo, to be honest, we don't really know much about the battle rap scene. Like, you seem like you got your thumb on the pulse of it. So I was like, so what you want me to do? He's like, yo, like, we want you to come in as a partner and basically, you know, start setting up the matchup. He says, you know who's popping or whatever. So that's when the URL was actually created, Dead and Men. Now, we had no budget, so I'm like, yo, you got a budget? He was like, nah, I literally had to call everybody, bro, like, yo, like, everybody. And niggas just turned me down. Because at that time, if people don't remember, Smack was kind of on the downfall.
No, Smack was...
Like, the DVD era was...
Yeah, it was over. The internet had popped off. That's why we started Forbes DVD. The Come Up DVD was about to go out of business. Sub-Zero was declining. Mm-hmm. There was no more Cocaine City. All that shit was over. Mm-hmm. It was World Star. It was
Matter
Forbes.
Fact,
it was on Smash. It was over.
Mm-hmm. It was it. That was it. It was everything else. Two Dope Boys. And remember, Smack tried to do Smack too, which, to be honest, was like a colossal failure. Like, nobody was watching with it. Because everybody had content. So, you know, now... You would have waited for the DVD to shoot it right up to World Star on these sites.
Mm-hmm.
So basically, you know, they came to me and we had no budget, nothing. And I had to reach out to all the battles. And I was like, God, let me see what's hot. And eventually, like, I would watch footage. Like, Young Miles sent me footage of Big T. Dog, it looked like it was in a closet, but I thought T was dope, so I booked Big T. Originally, he was supposed to battle Hollow, but it didn't work out, so I ended up putting him versus Deacon Frost. I reached out to Cortez. I put him to battle Miles, but he wanted X Factor. I said, fuck it, let's do that. Then I reached out to Rich Dollars, and that's how we got it. Now, mind you, nobody wanted to do the card because I know Brett, so I had to deal with what I had best. You know what I mean? Like, my best chance. And these guys agreed to do the battle. So I started thinking a little more creative. I said, yo, how can we make a big deal? Like, you know, a big whatever. So I reached out to Q from World Star, rest in peace, Q. And Q was like, bro, I'll give you the top box of World Star. You know, because everybody thought World Star was the shit. If you was on World Star, that's it. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
I thought that, too, at the time. So Q was like, yo, just give me the battle. I'll make sure all the battles are on the top spot or whatever. I was like, all right, cool. Now, I didn't know nothing about whatnot, but I knew when you were in the top spot of World Star, for some strange reason, people thought you were bigger than whatever. And then Star got involved. Star was happened to be a real big battle fan. Called Star, he said he hosts a DVD. And then from there, like, we threw the first event, and the shit was wild successful. And it started trending, and from there, that's when the partnership formed. And basically, it was my responsibility to scout and build these dudes up. And that's what I did from that day on, from October 31st, 2009 on, I took full responsibility in bringing in and signing the dudes. That was going to be the future of the URL. So back then, there wasn't no Surfs and no Hitmans and none of that. You know, it was Mook. It was really Mook and Lux, J Mills, and I didn't have no option to get none of those dudes. And basically, I had to go from the ground up and just, you know, recruit. And that's basically how the URL got started with me.
Wow. That's some crazy backstory. So how you feel in 2018 when I see a lot of people comment and they be like, oh, Norbs ain't shit. He's not really a part of the company. Chico, Smack, mm-hmm. and Beasley is really the men. Norbs, fuck Norbs. You don't got to talk to Norbs. How you feel when people actually say that?
I mean, when I see shit like that, bro, like, I don't really take it too personal because I'm comfortable where I'm at and I know what I've accomplished throughout the years. I feel like a lot of what people say about me is due to the fact that, one, and this is me personally. I definitely believe being a Latino in hip hop, I'm not gonna get the respect if I was a black man in hip hop. That's one of it. I've always felt like that since day one. I've always felt like I had to work 10 times harder. And people are always gonna say like, yeah, Latins and blacks came up in hip hop. That's true. But I really feel like a Latino hip hop and a Latino basically in every other racist, you know, with if you're black or white. So I always expected that, and I always felt that way. And like I said, like, we're not the most organized company, to be perfectly honest with you. So
real nigga time.
Smack will do, huh?
Real nigga time.
Yeah, real shit. Like, we're not the most organized company. So sometimes Smack may do something. We may not even, Beasley may not even know, or Chief Dominator, you know, and stuff like that. And, like, we're not the most organized, bro. But a lot of people don't actually know what I do. And it is what it is. Like, I'm not there to appease these things. I'm there to make the engine run. So when I see this shit, a lot of times it's hate. You know what I mean? Not to mention I have the job of telling people they're not good enough to be on Smack. So imagine you telling these dudes they're not good enough. They're not going to say too many positive things about you. You know what I'm saying?
Do you feel like you are? Do you feel like you're the most hated in battle rap?
Absolutely. Absolutely. I definitely do. I've always felt like that. You know, I've been threatened many a times. I didn't have shut up before. Like, I definitely feel like I'm the most hated. I definitely feel like the most unappreciated as well. You know, it comes with the territory. There's not a lot of people that are successful in the industry that are loved like that either. You know what I'm saying? And when I mean successful, I'm not talking about a rapper putting out a platinum album. A lot of those people behind the scenes aren't respected or loved the way they should be, and they put in a lot of work. So I'm not expecting it, to be honest. I really believe, like, when everything's said and done, I think I'll get my respect. I don't think I'm ever going to get it now. I mean, you know me personally, so you know what I've accomplished, but a lot of people don't really know what I do.
Could we
see Smack up there with the big chains and all that, like, you know?
Yeah, could we get into the PGs? You actually discovered a lot of these individuals. Like, you discovered B Magic, you discovered a lot of these dudes. Do the people not know that?
They know it, but at the same time, it's like, everybody feels like he can do better. It's almost like being in a sports team, bro. It's not easy to be a GM. If you're the Giants GM, or if you're Brian Cashman with the Yankees, or somebody with the Mets, everybody always feels like they can do a better job than you. People are envious of those type of positions. And whenever you're in a position to where you make the call, everybody feels like they can do better. It's almost like you watch your favorite football game and you're watching team lose. You're like, damn, I would have called a better game. And that's kind of the position I'm in, where people are always going to be super critical of what I do. I mean, but at the same time, we all kind of get it. Like, we just all got hammered for the Son of Man of Seven shit. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
But when it comes to people just coming in and people, like, not satisfied or with the new talent, it directly comes to me. So, like I said, like, when it comes to discovering the dudes, like, people don't realize, like, bro, I bring Hitman Holla. That wasn't Smack. I bring Avery, Sue Surf, Big T, Cortez, DNA. Like, the list goes on and on. So I know what I've done in my resume. But, you know, as time goes on, there's a lot of new fans, and they really don't know. And people get confused. You go on stage, you see, like, Smack with Africa and Numu and a bunch of people around there. You see them consistently over years on it. So you kind of, okay, this person must be somebody. This person might be somebody. That person might be somebody. And somebody that, me personally, I kind of play the background now. Like, I don't like being on stage. I don't like doing all that stuff. So it kind of, people kind of look at you in that way. So to me, it's like, there's definitely a lot of people that are misinformed. But, you know, if you've been around the culture long enough, or if you actually studied it, you know what I do and what I've accomplished.
So the PG rule, all new battlers must do a PG? Is that the rule?
Well, basically, is whenever I recruit, everybody goes to the PGs.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? There's some certain times where I'll, like, be like, you know what? His buzz is big enough. He's been around long enough. I trust that he's going to perform at a high level. It's cool, like a Patch Day. I've done that with a Disaster. I've done that with a Sharon. You know what I'm saying? So, but everybody else, they really got to go through the system. And it's not a knock or anything. It's kind of getting them used to what they're actually going to eventually face. And a lot of people don't. It's like getting drafted to a team. You got to go through summer league. You're not just going to go and, hey, there's no preseason, no training camp. You're going right to the big game. You got to get your feet wet. You got to get accustomed, because in the URL, it's the most competitive battle period. And you can really get embarrassed. I've seen people's careers, and I know you've seen people get up there and never seen them again because they got so embarrassed. So you got to prep these guys and get them prepared. But sometimes these guys think they're bigger than what they are. But, yeah, that's the rule. And you got to go through it, you know.
So let me ask you something. Yeah. Bad move looking back. Should y'all have just pushed B Dot instead of trying to make him do a PG? Should y'all just put him on that stage?
Well, with B Dot, this is a crazy thing. I had already had been recruiting B Dot. This is before the Daddy Myers battle. Like a lot of people don't know, like I'm usually on top of everything before it even gets to the light. So with B Dot, with Loso, with guys like A-Ward, I already known them before they got hot. You know what I'm saying? So what ends up happening is you'll have somebody, like for instance, B-Dot had somebody paying dudes to battle him, you know what I mean, and to help his buzz up. And not to take that away from his talent, because the kid is super talented. You know what I'm saying? He's super duper talented. But we had already agreed to do the PGs before that. But he felt like because he battled some of these guys and they paid them, that he didn't want to go through the process because he didn't want to be looked at like a little nigga, you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
But the crazy thing was, we actually spoke recently about it. It was a miscommunication with the whole thing. He was never against doing the PG. He felt like I was trying to put him down, and it was never that. But he eventually came around. He did the PG. He did it against Emerson Kennedy at Traffic, and it was all good. You know what I'm saying? But if somebody doesn't necessarily need it, like for instance, because, you know, we use it also to help them market themselves as well and to get them prepared. You know, we'll move them along fast. Everybody's the same. Mm-hmm. Not everybody's going to go through the same process. You know what I'm saying? Like, B-Dot could have did his one and went right to what he's doing now. You know what I'm saying? Same thing with New Jersey Twerk. He did his joints. He got super popular. Boom, you're off and running. Some guys need more than others. You know what I mean? But you have to let the system work for you if you're going to let it happen. And a lot of people's egos won't let it happen.
Speaking of twerking, that's a good segue. Thank you for that. Do you think Twerk taking too many battles? Do y'all overbook him? Is he too booked?
I definitely think we overbook Twerk. But at the same time, it's like we've overbooked Twerk, and I think he's overbooked himself. Like, and it's hard to tell niggas. And this is the problem. And I'm going to break it down to you. It's going to sound crazy, but a lot of these kids that come in, right, a lot of them are Latino or African-American, and they come in, and they're looking for the quick pay. And I know you've dealt with people right away. And once people throw money at them, it's hard for these niggas to just stay away from the money. Like, for instance, if you tell a smack rapper he has a job, it's a diss. So a lot of these dudes actually come in with that mentality, like, man, I don't want to work because I'm getting recognized, so I'm going to just take as many battles as possible and screw a job. So that's basically, they literally make this a living. So they're trying to battle every week because they need the money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And that's what ruins a lot of the thing. And with Twerk, I think that's really what it is. Like, he's getting booked everywhere. Every week, I turn around and he's got a battle. And I definitely think it's hindered his progress and it's hurt his stock because people are paying to see Aver versus Twerk, not Aver versus DNA. You know what I'm saying? Like, they don't want to see that type of performance. They want to see what you're good against Verb, and you can't do that. And especially when you're chasing checks, you don't have time to prepare in that manner. And I definitely think, you know, him chasing the money and kind of being young and a little immature, it's really actually kind of hurt him.
I feel like, I mean, how much responsibility does URL take? I felt like Chess was getting booked a little bit too much, and I started seeing the decline, not in his skill, because he's very skilled, but he started really, really choking in a lot of battles and throwing up and all types of shit like that. Dude, does URL take a little responsibility for that? Like, or is he just not ready for certain things?
I think he's ready. I just think that, you know, Chess is, what, 19 maybe, 20 years old? And maturity is really taking over instead of him growing. And that could go both ways. It could go with us not checking it before it got to a certain level, which I think we should have did. And then also Chess just being young and dumb in certain situations. So we definitely got to shoulder a lot of the blame when it comes to these guys not being at a level that they should be. Because if we let them get away with it, what do you think? The next time they're going to do better? No, they're going to continue to try to get away with it and cheat the system. And I feel like we've been extremely lenient to a fault. And when somebody's able to take advantage of you, they're going to do it. It's just human nature sometimes. And I feel like a lot of us do it immaturity, but we definitely got to shoulder the blame in terms of when these guys mess up and they're not taking it serious. Because if you're lenient, they're going to take advantage. If you're strict to the letter of the rule and they know there's consequences, chances are they're not going to do that. They're not going to play with their money. And I feel like to a point we've become too much of their friends as opposed to a business where they actually are employees. And I really believe that we've done a little too much for some of these guys.
Is the contract thing still in effect? Is some of the battlers still signing contracts, or that y'all did away with that?
No, they still, you know, a lot of these guys, most of them are on the contract. Like, you know, we do exclusive deals, and that's what we want to do because we feel like a lot of these other people, you know, just coming up with leagues every other time, and they just benefit off of the hard work, that blood, sweat, and tears that we've done, and it still happens to this day. So we definitely try to be as business-oriented as possible just to protect ourselves and the growth of our country, to be honest with you.
So let me ask you something. The sponsors, I'm always like wondering why doesn't URL have more sponsors? Like, why is it so hard to get sponsors for battles? Because I'm like, why is it only Al Capone sponsoring the battles? I would think it was, you know, you had Kevin Durant there, you had Diddy there, all these individuals that come and took that stage and used some of that battle rap limelight got companies that could have sponsored battles. Why isn't it a bunch of sponsors sponsoring these battles?
That's a question I ask all the time. I had a conversation with Beasley about 2 weeks ago. And I said, all these guys that are fans, all these icons of hip-hop that at one point they were struggling and they're huge fans of us, where are they? You know what I'm saying? I see a lot of people capitalizing off of battle rap in their own way and kind of watering it down and kind of mocking what we do. We see a lot of battle shows now with fucking actors and stuff battling each other with iconic hip-hop people in those positions to solidify them.
Mm-hmm.
And it's crazy because to me, it's a little insulting for the fact that you're solidifying something that's actually mocking what we actually do. Having said that, that's a check, that's cool. But we've definitely had opportunities where a lot of these moguls or people that were interested in becoming a part of what we do and helping us. But just like in any hip hop contract you're going to sign, whether it's music, you have to protect yourself. And if the deal's not in our best interest, we're not going to sign it regardless of who you are. So we've definitely had, talks and of that nature. But it just seems like instead of helping us grow, people just, you know, kind of trying to take advantage of us. And it sucks because when hip hop was struggling to get to where it got to, you had a lot of these guys that are going through what we're going through now make it and get help. And to me personally, I feel like it's not being reciprocated to us. Now, in terms of sponsors, like a Nike or these or whatever, it's weird. They just won't do it. They feel like we're too much of a niche audience, or it's too violent, the product, and a lot of people just aren't, you know, biting. And it sucks because I had a conversation with an NFL rep. He does the marketing for the NFL. And he was really intrigued at what we do. And he was like, yo, so how do you guys keep the shit going? And I told him, you know, we have a sponsor here or there, but most of the shit comes out of pocket. And he broke it down to me how the NFL runs, and it was crazy. He was like, yo, to be honest with you, he goes, I think he said less than 0.5% of the revenue that goes into the NFL are ticket sales. And I was like, word? He was like, any business that's relying on ticket sales is going to go out of business because people aren't going to support like that. And he basically broke down how the NFL runs, and it's like TV deals. And there's $1 billion deals. Fucking Nike putting Coors Light commercials, trying to buy time when they're on. And that's how they split the revenue. Battle rap doesn't have that type of support from anybody. So anything that we do has to come from a small sponsor here, maybe an alcohol postage rentals, may give us X amount of dollars towards the event. But everything else is literally ticket sales and a big risk. And as long as we've been able to keep this shit going, I'm amazed with the fact that we have never really gotten support from these bigger organizations that could actually help us and we could help each other. But to be honest, it sucks, bro. It's really horrible.
So, reason why I'm asking that, because I want to segue, because y'all lost some big battles. And was it due to financial reasons? Like, because the Lux versus Hollow, that's a URL battle. The Mook versus
all
Lux.
All URL battles.
Yeah, the Mook
all of them.
Versus Lux part two is a URL battle, but y'all didn't get mm-hmm. these battles. Was that a financial reason why y'all didn't get the battle?
Absolutely.
Damn.
Like, look, and I'm going to be honest, like, I fuck with Mook. He's a cool dude. But Mook is only out for number one, and that's himself. And I've spoken to him personally about throwing battles and stuff like that. And a lot of these guys, not even to say Mook, I'm talking about all these guys. They just try to rape it. They try to rape us. They're not getting $5,000 for a show, but want $100,000 from us just to show up to a battle. And it's just crazy. Like, they see what the culture we're building and trying to keep consistent. And they're just out there to put out these extraordinary numbers. Crazy. And to me, if it was that easy, why wouldn't you just throw your own event and cut out the middleman? You know what I'm saying? Fuck that. Just do it. I've seen Vlad TV try to do it. I've seen Slaughterhouse try to do what we do. I've seen people all over try to do what we do. And they can't sustain it for the simple fact that these guys are asking for astronomical numbers. So when you see a Hollow versus Lux go somewhere else, it hurts. But at the same time, it's like you got to protect and believe in the work you've put in and say, screw it. You know, one battle's not going to make us, you know?
So,
but to be honest,
go ahead.
A lot of these guys are crazy. Mm-hmm.
So this year, y'all didn't have anything Mook since the Iron Solomon thing. And that last battle was it straight up sucked. Did that scare mm-hmm. y'all away from doing more Mook battles for the amount of money he was charging?
The amount of money period scared us, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I think Mook is talented, but it comes a time where he's like, no, I can't do it. If I do this, then the integrity of my company is going to go crazy. And where does it stop? It's not like these guys, you give them $10,000 and it's between you and them. You know what I mean? They're always, you know, measuring against somebody else, and it's always money and more money, and it's not recoupable. Who puts out $60,000 and not expect to make 5 to 10 times the amount? No business owner is going to put out that type of money to break even or to go under or to make a couple thousand more. You know what I'm saying? That's a problem. These guys want these astronomical numbers. Cassidy said he wanted $1.25 million. He got paid from Alki David, the billionaire. But these guys are just crazy with what they asked for.
Actually, another big battle that took place this year was the A-Verb versus Mook. I guess the battle did well. Mm-hmm. It definitely shook up, you know, the culture, the return of Murder Mook, and everybody was talking about mm-hmm. it. What was your thoughts mm-hmm. on that battle overall?
I never seen it. I never watched the battle. To be honest with you, when it got announced, I could care less, to be honest with you. Like, I kind of just kept my head straight and was like, you know what? I'm ready to move on, because I never really see that battle. I never even thought of making that battle happen. So to me, it was like, who cares? And I know what Mook costs. And in my opinion, it wasn't worth it. You know what I'm saying?
But how could you say that if you never saw it, though? How could you say that if you didn't see it?
No. It wasn't worth me shelling out the money and the risk.
Okay.
I never seen the battle.
Okay.
But in my opinion, if the battle came to the table, I wouldn't, for what we would have had to spend, I don't know what he got, but what we would have had to spend in the conversations I've had with Mook, it would not be worth it. You know what I'm saying? So that's what I'm saying. But I never watched the battle.
So did you not watch it because it's RBE, or do you only watch URL battles?
I only watch the URL battles and when I got a scout. I only watch the NBA. I don't watch, you know, other leagues. I don't only watch the NFL. I don't watch other leagues. And I've always had that type of mentality. And it's like work for me. So I don't, if it's not, I don't have to scout more. So I'm not going to watch it. It doesn't interest me. And it has nothing to do with benefiting my company. So I just don't watch it.
So you don't watch
it? Out of sight, out of mind.
You don't watch King of the Dot either?
Not really. I've been to King of the Dot event and I have a good relationship with them. But to me, when I watch King of the Dot, it's like watching European basketball. It's cool, but it's not my thing, to be honest. But I watch it. Like I did, I was there for Pat State versus Hollow. You know what I mean? But that's a different type of, you know, fan base, a different type of rapper like Pat Stay or, you know, it's like watching Dirk Nowitzki in a sense come to the NBA. You know what I mean? Or Dragan Petrovic. It's a little different because they got a little different style. So I've watched a few King of the Dot battles, but it's not my thing.
So when you see Disaster versus the Russian kid and that shit get like a million views and like you don't be like, damn, I need this Russian dude on URL. Y'all don't say that?
No, because it's like, how I put it. It's like if you take somebody that's world famous somewhere else and you put them on your channel, it doesn't necessarily translate for them following you. They're just really following that individual. So when I see the battle, I didn't watch the battle, but when I heard the battle being announced, because Disaster had already told me he was doing this real big battle with the Russian Jay-Z. So I didn't know who the fuck the guy was. And when they sold out in like a few minutes, I was like, oh, okay, these niggas is coming for a concert. They don't really care about Disaster. Okay, this thing is really that big. That's like us going and getting Drake. You know what I'm saying? Or, you know, or not even that, if we get anybody, if you get, let's say Floyd Mayweather wants to rap, you know what I'm saying? Just because he is who he is, people are going to watch it. But that doesn't necessarily mean that they're going to watch the sport that you love. You know what I'm saying? So to me, I wasn't interested in that battle because I don't think it translated for them actually getting more fans. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, they probably got more subscribers, but their numbers actually dropped since then, which is crazy. A lot of people don't even know that.
So, I just seen today, possibly J Mills returning versus Kayshawn. What do you think about that?
Yeah. About Mills and Kayshawn? It's cool. It's cool to see Mills back. I know he wanted a lot of money when he had contacted us, but it's cool to see if he still got it. That's pretty much it. If he still got it. Does he still have it? No. But you know what? It's cool to see it, and hopefully he does well.
And you ain't gonna watch
it. To be honest with you,
you're not gonna watch it.
No, I'm not gonna watch it. I'm being honest with you.
You know, goddamn well, they're gonna say you a hater. You know that, right? They're gonna say you hate.
They're always gonna say something about me. It's not that I'm hating. I never had interest in watching J Mills do anything, to be honest with you. I never listened to his music, so am I hating because I wasn't interested in listening to his music? I have seen one battle with J Mills. It's not something that I'm like, oh shit, I want to watch it. Now, if Drake came out and battled, I might be a lot more interested because it's Drake. But I'm not really interested in J Mills. It's just, you know.
So
it's just that. Lux says he's coming back. Yeah, I may watch Lux.
So if Lux battle on fucking Doodle Stain Draws Battle League, you going to watch
Lux.
It?
Lux is like Jesus Christ with a pen. So I'm going to watch anything Lux does. Like, he's just phenomenal. And I've been in rooms where Lux just starts rapping and people just shut down. It's a whole other level of MC. And no disrespect to J Mills, but he's not Lux. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm just being honest. But having said that, no, I usually don't watch anybody else. But for a guy like Lux, I may make the exception because I'm a really big fan of Lux.
I ain't going to front. Lux is very, very different. Lux versus Mook, same lines, same battle, on a URL stage. Do you think that result would have been different?
You talking about when he battled on the Joe Budden battle league?
When the Total Slaughter, Lux versus Mook,
yeah.
If that battle took place on a URL stage, do you think the result would have been different? The end result?
I definitely think it would have definitely been a lot different. But I can't take away from Mook. I thought Mook played to his strengths and that crowd. When it comes to battle rap, and you got to go according to what you're great at and the crowd that you're battling in front of. And I think he understood the crowd he was going up to you know, to see him. And I don't think Lux did. Lux rapped like he was in front of a URL crowd. And they kind of was like, you know, they were more into the antics and the other stuff because they didn't really understand. I mean, they had Sway hosted it. No offense to Sway and K-Slay, but they didn't know what the fuck was going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was crazy what I said. So, to me, Mook was very smart in his approach, and he's a very intelligent man. He knew by his antics and knew what he was doing that they were going to fuck with him. Lux kind of went a little more critical, and he tried to get personal, and nobody knew what the fuck he was talking about.
Yeah.
Because that was for a URL crowd. Now, Mook went out there and did the whole antics and the, you know, he was very smart, you know. So I definitely agree it would definitely been a different result because the shit that Lux was saying would have been more appreciated on a Smack URL crowd. But you got to take your hat off for Mook because he was smart. Like, he really took advantage and knew who he was rapping in front of.
So right now, Summer Madness 8. Two Summer Madness in 1 year. Did you ever think that that would happen?
We've been talking about it for like 2 years since we skipped that Summer Madness. So I knew it would eventually happen. I thought it would happen this year. Then I had the thoughts that it wasn't going to happen because it's London. London's not, you know, you're not going to California or you can't, you know what I mean? It's a little different. So it's exciting. It's exciting to go to London for the first time. It's exciting to see a whole nother market. You know what I mean? I've been there many times. I know there's a lot of URL fans. And I think it's cool to see from where we came from to where we're going to a whole other part of the world. I think that's extremely exciting, to be honest.
So, you know, the headline battle is John the Don versus Hollow the Don. Yeah. If this was maybe 5 years ago, we would have thought, John don't deserve
Slaughter.
This. Yeah, Slaughter. Hollow will kill John. Mm-hmm. John definitely built his resume. Even though, in my opinion, and you might agree with me, Hollow is very tough to beat. Hollow
absolutely
is like, because in the middle of the battle, he'll just change everything and do some different
rebuttal,
shit. And he's hard to prepare for. What was it like to book that battle? Because I know that was years, you know, in the work.
John's been chasing that battle for years. I actually thought it wasn't going to go down for the simple fact that Hollow really didn't like John. Like, he really felt like he never deserved the opportunity and that he didn't respect him. And that, you know, they had an altercation at one time. And Hollow's like, bro, I don't know if I could sit there and let this thing say what I want and punch him in the mouth. I think that's why I thought it was never going to happen. And when we finally announced it and I spoke to Hollow, I was extremely surprised. I was like, damn, nigga, I'm surprised you took the battle. And Hollow was like, bro, I'm in a different place in my life. That type of stuff's not going to bother me. And I'm motivated to beat him. Like, I really want to fuck him up. And the fact that it's in London, I'm so excited to be in London because, you know, he was saying basically that he loves that crowd. You know, he went out there, he smoked Pat Stay out there, he got crazy, and he really feels the love. So in my opinion, it's insane that it's finally happening, and I definitely think John is deserving of it. He's definitely gotten better over the years. He's had a few really big wins that people didn't expect him to win. He came off a big win versus Rum Nitty, which I thought he was an underdog for, and he just continues to get better. Having said that, I think he's in for a long night against Hollow in London, to be honest with you.
Anybody who battle Hollow is in for a long night. Is, you know, he's tough. He's tough. Somebody in the chat room wanted me to ask you, why is there so many damn people on the stage at the URL? I also have a problem with that. I can't stand it. Why is it 500? You hate it too?
Doggy, you don't even see me on stage anymore. I used to be right front and center on stage. And, you know, I fucking hate it. It's gay. Like, honestly, I don't care what anybody says. You got a bunch of niggas just rubbing up on each other. Hey, bro, it's no space to fucking move. You got literally pelvic area on ass cheek throughout the whole fucking stage, and I fucking hate it. I really don't understand why people want to be right next to you. You're talking about hours and hours next to a bunch of sweaty men. I'm sorry. It's just not something I want to do.
You know,
I hate it.
You know what bothers me the most about it? I think too many people on the stage now are trying to grandstand the battle and create their moment of going viral by doing some stupid shit on the stage.
Yeah,
and it's like it's just too much. It takes away from the actual battle, all these antics.
Being on the Smack stage is the new Instagram.
Yeah,
like,
yeah.
I swear to God, it's the new Instagram. Like, you seen guys, I've seen people advertising their product on the stage, bro.
Wow.
Advertising their screen name on Instagram. Like, come on, bro. Like, this, I honestly cannot stand it. Like, it's the worst thing in the world, bro. And you see a bunch of male groupies. Nobody wants to admit it, but they're all male groupies.
Damn. So
it's horrible.
So
I can't stand it.
Let's get into estimate. The other battle, I don't know if we would call this a headline, but we got Pat Stay and Tay Rock. Tay Rock coming off a battle with Goods, where a lot of people was hard on Tay Rock for that battle. Looking back on the footage, he definitely did his thing in that, but it was a point where Tay Rock got booed, which was crazy.
Yeah.
Like, Tay Rock got booed.
I mean, Tay Rock is the face, you know, but when you're on the road, man, not everybody's going to give you whatever. You got to work a lot harder for that reaction on the road. And I think it was a lesson for Tay Rock. Now, with this battle, I know what you said, you know, you don't know if it's a main event. The reason it's such a big battle is because you take Tay Rock, right? Tay Rock is the guy that's been representing URL, or what people want to call Smack's Gunner, for years. They feel like that's the closest person to Smack, the best representation for the Smack brand. Now, on the flip side of it, you got Pastay, who, if you remember, we were talking about King of the Dot. He's actually that to King of the Dot and Organic. He's been the face. He's been the guy that's been carrying the torch every event, every whatever. So it's a really intriguing matchup because it's like their face versus our face in a neutral ground out in London. So it's bigger than, if you look deeper into that battle, it's really big. Because it's almost like a King of the Dot versus Smack battle. You know what I'm saying?
How come?
Because this is literally King of the Dot guy.
I wanted to ask you that. How come none of those versus battles, league battles, ever taken place? I mean, I can answer it somewhat because some of the talent is really URL talent for some battle leagues. But I'm just talking about with a King of the Dot, of them having a lot of their own homegrown talent. How come it's never been a King of the Dot versus URL card?
I'm going to tell you why right now. Name five King of the Dot guys that take stars.
See, what had happened was, right?
Exactly. That's my point. Like, Pat Stay, super dope. Disaster, okay. Sharon, that's pretty much as far as I'll go.
Okay.
You know what I mean? I don't think anybody has a roster like we do. When you see anybody booking main events all over the world, it's you all, guys. And maybe I should toot my own horn because that's my cause. You know what I'm saying? That's what I've done. I've been able to help create these guys. So, you know, no league has been able to sustain as much talented guys that we have. You know what I mean?
How come Ice hasn't been on that URL stage?
Man, that's a good question. It's just, how do I explain it? Differences in opinion and certain things. You know, I fuck with Ice. I think Ice is dope. But, you know, I think he's felt the way about certain things, I guess, that we've done or whatnot. And it's best just to go each other's way. You know what I mean? You do the same thing in the back. We wish him the best of luck. And, you know, that's pretty much it. Like, there's no real conversation in booking him. I still got that love for him. If it eventually happens, I'm not against it. But for right now, we're kind of just doing what we're doing, you know what I mean?
As far as returns, who returned that you want to see to battle rap and hit that URL stage again?
Cassidy.
Say that again, you broke
up. I want to see Cassidy. I want to see if Cassidy can really bang, you know. He did that disaster thing in the parking lot, and a lot of people gave him a lot of credit for that. But You didn't do it on Smack, bro. You didn't do it against somebody that does what you do. And when Cassidy just announced that he's going to do it next year, I think he's in a lot of trouble. So I definitely want to see Cassidy. I want to see what Cassidy really has.
So him versus who is in the works, or is it too early to say?
I can't announce it, but, you know, it could be a few people. You know, he's been going back and forth with a lot of them.
Well, I'm going to tell you what. Crazy. If it ain't Cassidy versus Goods, it ain't even worth doing nothing. Because Cassidy and Goods is, like, really the only thing I want to see right now. Their style is crazy. So
listen, hopefully that's what it is. And if it is, look out for a good night, Max. Like I said, I think Goods is definitely phenomenal. I think Cassidy has the reputation of being a superstar battle rap. And I think it's for good TV. I just think if that would have happened, I know who I got my money on.
Yo, you know what's crazy? Well, who you got your money on? Your money on Goods or who you got your money on?
If Goods battles him, absolutely.
You know what's crazy? I want to shout out Goods because Goods actually was never whack ever, and he got better. How the fuck you get better, though?
Mm-hmm. Goods, you know what it is? When you're comfortable in your own skin and not worried about what anybody has to say, you tend to get better at what you do. You know what I mean? I think it's like that shooter that just keeps shooting. You know what I mean? He, no matter what, he knows he's going to go down. I think that's what Goods has. He has that mentality. Like, he's so confident in his ability that he just, you know, he presents it much better. He just gets better. Like, it's his confidence level. It's ridiculous.
It's two things.
Goods has always been able to, yeah.
It's two things that I want to cover before we go. How bad has the altercations on the URL stage and also the tragic events at Urban Plaza hurt the getting venues for battle rap?
Oh man, it's horrible. You know, rest in peace, my brother. You know, that man passed away at Urban Plaza, Banger. But you know, when shit like that happens, they shut down. They try to shut down hip hop. They put it all on hip hop, you know, and it affects directly us because, of course, ours is a competitive type of thing, and they feel like we, you know, the people in hip hop, obviously can't control themselves, and it allows people to censor what we do, and what, you know, and it sucks, you know, and even like with the Mad Punch Series Jones, even with Disaster Punch and Math, my nigga, like, they look at us like fucking morons. Like, we get judged. So, put it like this. Serious Donut leaks out, right?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody's like, these niggas can't control themselves, whatever. Math gets punched by Disaster and it makes TMZ and they glorify it. It's that blunt. And I feel like people are always trying to attack, you know, our community and what we do. So, anytime they're able to try to shut us down or have an excuse to, they're going to take that opportunity. And they've used that to make it harder for us to get venues and stuff like that. It's horrible. We went to venues. They charge like $600 for the venue. And as soon as they find out we're going to come, we're interested, the price goes up. And they try to outprice us. We'll have the money, and they'll be like, nah, we're going to need more. Or now it's not available. Like, we've actually had that shit happen to us.
Wow.
So, yeah, obviously, man, like, it's insane.
So
it just sucks that it's a double standard.
Will it be another event in New York anytime soon? Because the last few been on the road.
Well, actually, October 10th, we have the strike card. That's
facts.
Homecoming back in New York. And then after that's London. And then I'm trying to work on something in December. But hopefully we bring back some of Madness too for New York City. So next year, maybe Cassidy's on that card. Who knows?
You know what I mean? Do you still manage Jazz?
No, right now. I'm just on some. I don't have time. You know what I mean? I have my daughter. You know, Jazz is kind of just, you know, becoming a woman, doing her thing. You know, I don't know what she's been doing, but right now, I don't. Man, I'm just focused on my family right now and doing what I'm doing at work.
Okay. And we definitely got to cover the Norbs It All podcast. How is the podcast life for you? What's some of the
it's
things?
Dope.
What's some of the biggest misconception about being a podcaster, though? Because everybody think this shit is easy.
It's not easy. First of all, it takes talent to be able to maintain people's attention. And I've watched a lot of people that I've idolized throughout the years. Yourself, to be honest with you, and I'm not saying that because you're on the show. I've told you this before. Star from Star and Buckwild. I've always been a big fan of Howard Stern, and I've always found it intriguing as to how these guys are able to continue to keep people's interest. So it's not easy, one. You just don't turn on a mic and talk. You know, you've got to have something about you that that draws people to you. And I'm humbled that a lot of people like it. I just feel like I'm just talking shit, but a lot of people like it. And it really, it's humbling and it's inspiring because I always wanted to do radio and stuff like that. I always loved it. I've always had a passion for it. So, you know, doing the podcast is something that I really want to keep going because eventually, you know, I would love to do a radio show, a daytime show or something. Who knows? But, you know, there's gold behind it, and I like the structure of it. And, you know, I don't know. It's challenging. It's a new challenge, and I love it. To be honest, how do you like it? You've been doing this for years.
I mean, it don't hurt you that you know the interview king and shit personally and shit. You call me on the phone and shit like that, so that definitely, you know, definitely helps you and shit. But you know, like I told the people before, you know, with me, I like to see people do well. So you know, even when you started, I you know called you and was like, yo, nah, you this, that, and the third. You gotta do this, that, and the third with that because yeah, I just thanks. Like to see people win. I love it. I never imagined in my life growing up that I would have a voice that thousands of people would listen to every day. Like that shit is amazing to me. Mm-hmm. And then it got scary. Then it got scary because the shit I was saying was really starting to matter on a broad scale. Mm-hmm. So I had to be careful. I'm like, hold up. I just said that and motherfuckers want to fight me. I might have to fight this dude or this person's mad at me. This person don't want to talk to me no more behind some shit I said. And I'm like, damn, I thought that.
You know how many times I got calls from B's like, yo, you know, this nigga, you said XYZ about his resume and he wants to fight you now. I'm like, are you serious? Like, what? Trust me, I know exactly what you're saying, man.
So, but I mean, at one point you was just talking shit online. Did that whole thing with you and the grill and out of state, did that happen behind you talking shit online? Like someday, like how did that, why,
no,
what happened
actually,
that day?
It actually had nothing to do with any of that, to be honest with you. The funny shit with that is a lot of people have a big misconception. Like, although I'm not disrespectful. You know what I'm saying? No one's ever going to quote me being disrespectful. I will be opinionated, but I will never take a shot at somebody's manhood, their children, or anything like that.
Nah, you told that nigga. You told Debo before when you see him, you're going to kiss him and shit like that. That shit was, I was like, what the fuck is that?
That's hilarious. Yeah. But the reason I did that was because Debo has this thing to where he's always tough with everybody, and it really irritates me sometimes. He knows how to get under people's skin. So me, I'm sarcastic. But I will say, I will apologize if I passed the line, if I crossed the line.
Gotcha.
And if you feel away, I'm man enough to be. I called him. I was like, you know what? You feel away, I apologize. I'll do it publicly because it's not about being a pussy or anything like that. But if you offend somebody and you actually care about that person, just go out. There's nothing wrong with apologizing. I never understood why people could never admit they're wrong, which is insane to me. But the thing in Kentucky was kind of crazy. The nigga came out here. He did a battle, right? He did two battles. He was on the PGs. And the first one he did, he choked fucking horribly. But he had potential. I thought it was pretty good. The second one he did, everybody on the roof was from the Midwest. He's from the Midwest. So he's getting his ass kicked during the fucking battle and quits, right? So he quits, and now an altercation almost breaks out. They were about to beat his ass. I see this nigga's ass toward the fucking thing, like, yo, chair, whatever. Now, he goes around talking about people with bias, we set him up. And I was like, bro, like, you basically quit the battle so the footage wouldn't drop. So he kept going online. So I said, oh, you know what? I'm going to drop the battle. So now you could actually defend what actually really happened. I dropped the battle. He got embarrassed. You know what I'm saying? Because the truth actually came out. He was like, dog, you just got smoked, whatever. He calls, I was on a radio show, and he calls the show talking crazy. We go back and forth real quick. Boom, whatever. The nigga actually calls me a couple weeks after and apologizes to me. like, bro, we ain't got no beef. I apologize. I'm just immature, blah, blah, blah. I handled the whole situation fucked up. I apologize as a man. I took the apology. You know what I'm saying?
He rocked you to sleep.
I said, you know what? I rocked you to sleep, bro.
You from Brooklyn. So, come on, man.
I said, no, but check it. No, hold on. So check it. So I'm like, cool, whatever. Nigga, I go out there for the parents. Now, I'm out there, whatever. I'm chilling. Now, at this point, I'm fucking so sick. I'm in the venue. I'm fucking damn near thrown up. I'm fucked up, whatever. I'm in the venue. I see the nigga. He got a face. So I'm like, you know, So I go to the corner. I said, let me put this bottle behind me just in case. So throughout the night, I'm doing the venue. Nigga don't say nothing to me, bro. So now, mind you, I'm chilling. I go talk to some chick. So I'm trying to talk to this chick, seeing what's good. Like, yo, we out of here, what? She's like, nah, you know, I don't know, yeah, whatever. I turn, and you know how you bump into somebody? I bump into the nigga. So when I bump into the nigga, I don't even know it's the nigga. So I said, yo, my bad, dog. I ain't mean to hit you. I ain't mean to run into you. Now, when I see them, the nigga froze. Like, he froze, nigga, like he seen a ghost. Like, he didn't know what to do or say. You know what I'm saying? So as I'm looking at him, I'm like, oh, shit, my bad, gun. Are you good? And he just froze. When I see him, he tried to, like, not get tough, but he tried to say, and I was like, you know what, bro, whatever. As I'm walking away, something told me to be like, yo, why was he so close to me? You know what I'm saying? Like, was he trying to sneak me or something?
Mm.
So when I turn around, I'm about to host the last battle, and something tells me, like, yo, nigga, you're getting set up. Look around the room. When I look around the room, nigga, I see the walls closing in on me. And I read the nigga's lips to the right of me. And he says, yo, we about to get this nigga. So when I see that, I see him looking at the right side of the room. On his side, there's like four niggas. And on this side, there's another four. It was about 16, 17 niggas surrounding me at this point. So the first initial thought in my head was, these niggas set me up. So I turned to the nigga that brought me out there. I said, yo, bro, word, set me up, son. This nigga goes into panic mode. So in my head, I'm like, bro, you better have something on you because they not searching niggas at the door. I know these niggas are strapped. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
Fuck. My nigga, so I go to a door. Now, my boy, I'm going somewhere else. I end up in a yard, and it's black, and all I see is this nigga surrounding me. Man, once I see that shit, and then I see the nigga with a hammer next to me, I was like, still, I'm good, man. Whatever, I was thinking about the shit, bro. I was like, fuck this shit, I'm trying to get home. You know what I mean? The crazy shit was, that nigga was more scared than me.
Mm.
I'm like, nigga, you got like 16 niggas with you. You shouldn't be scared. The nigga next to you got the ratchet. You know what I'm saying? I know you got a bunch of other niggas with you. And it was crazy when you see the whatever, I'm talking to the nigga, and I'm like, where are my niggas? I'm nervous as shit, but I'm like, yo, after I saved your ass, so where I'm from, bro, when you know you're going to get jumped, play the wall, because you don't want nobody to hit you from the back. So that's why I'm actually playing the wall.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm playing the wall, like, I ain't trying to get yoked up from the back, whatever. And I'm actually seeing everything in front of me. So, basically, the nigga to the right of him is screaming on him, like, screaming on him. Like, I'm catching him. He's like, yo, do something. So finally, the nigga takes a shot, boom, and hits me. Now, when people don't see, the camera cuts off at that point. When he hit me, he runs. He ran out. And another nigga hit me from the right side. So at this point, I got hit from two different angles, and then another nigga grabs me. This is all off camera. So when the third nigga grabs me, I'm thinking I'm about to get flipped. So at this point, I'm like, oh, fuck it. So I'm going to swing, and the nigga's like, yo, chill. And when I finally realize what's happening, like, he hit me in hightail. Like, he ran. And I'm like, bro, what the fuck? And that's when I knew it was getting filmed. But, you know, at the end of the day, man, it killed my pride for a while. I'm not going to sit here and tell you it didn't kill my pride for a while. Like, it was very, you know, it took a shot to the ego. You know what I'm saying? It really hit me hard at first.
Shit be happening.
And like,
shit real out here.
Yeah, no, absolutely. Don't get it twisted. If I was to see this nigga anywhere, you know what I'm saying? I'm a split of shit. Like, it's not no question asked. But the crazy shit is, I got a lot of love from the community. Like, I had, like World Star hit me. Vlad. Mad people just hit me. And they was like, yo, we not posting that nigga shit. He a sucker. And I was like, and I didn't even ask these niggas. Like, they were trying to sell this shit.
Mm.
And I just got a lot of love back. They was crazy. I didn't even ask for this shit. So to me, it's like, I look at it like, I'm in a place in my life where I'm doing great. And this nigga don't have a career. You know what I'm saying? And it was just like, you know, fuck it. This is what happens. It happens. Everything happens for a reason. I'm like, will I ever get caught slipping like that again? No, I'm not.
I'm about to say, because you're going to get your Brooklyn card revoked, man. You're supposed to know better, man. We move different being from Brooklyn.
I should have. I got robbed to sleep. The nigga really called and apologized, though. That's the crazy shit.
Wow. I mean, like, it is what crazy. It is. Shit happened. Before we go, will we see any more female battlers on the URL stage? I really like when the females battle. The Jazz, even though you're going to probably be biased, I thought Official beat Jazz. It was that round was just so...
No, Official did beat Jazz.
Okay.
I'm not going to lie, but I thought Official beat Jazz. I thought Jazz was dope, but Jazz is the type of person that's very laid back, and she's still green in terms of performance, and you look at someone like Official has an amazing cadence. Like,
whoa.
It's not, her cadence alone, well, that's just weird.
So...
Hello?
Yeah, I'm here. So is it... So do we not see more females on the stage because it conflicts with the Queen of the Ring thing or the URL shit?
Definitely. I think, like, you know, Queen of the Ring tries to make as many big female battles as they can. And I think sometimes that slows up the process. I try to help out as much as I can. And like I said, I'm willing to do it, you know, and I even talk to them and say, listen, I'll do it in conjunction with y'all. So, you know, we actually been, excuse me, talking about doing certain things. Like, I actually spoke to people doing that versus Tory Doe.
Mm.
And I'm interested in doing that.
Say that one more time because you broke up a little bit. Tory Doe versus who?
Oh, I said I wanted to do Jazz versus Tory Doe. I think a lot of people wanted to see that, and I would like to go on Smack. And I'm just trying to see that to do. I know she got a battle coming up in London, but I already spoke to D-Lo, and he was with it. And I was like, bro, I'll do it if niggas really want to do it. So I'm definitely with doing female battles on URL. You know what I'm saying? But I also told them, you know, I would do shit in conjunction with them just to show love, you know what I mean? But I'm definitely open to doing female battles. I'm not tripping off of that.
So I want to close out. Some of the people in the chat room right now, it's Saturday, well, Friday night, so it's not too crazy in the chat room. And this was very impromptu.
Yeah.
We just did this. But somebody said something, and I want to know your opinion on this. You could answer, you could pass on it or whatever, but Heartbeat of 305 MIA says RBE is slowly gaining on the URL status wise. What do you think about that? What do you think about that when some of the fans are saying that? Does it bother you?
No, it doesn't, because I know what's real and what's not real. And like I said, you know, everybody, it's freedom of speech, but you can say whatever you want. You know, I mean, we're about to cross a million subscribers, and we're going to continue to grow. And at the end of the day, nobody can be successful without the Smack imprint. And that's why I leave it at that. Simple as that.
Okay.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, so give them all your social media.
It's at Streetstar, NORBE, everything, Instagram, Twitter. Make sure you tune into Noise It All Podcast. It's all on all your major platforms, man. Whatever y'all want to do. But yeah, we here, man.
Norbs It All Podcast. So is your name Norb or Norbs? What the fuck is going on, man? Because it's Streetstar Norb, but then it's Norbs. What is your damn name?
The funny shit is, when I made those, I forgot to put the S at the end.
Oh, shit.
It was like a clip, and I just left it the way it was. But it's Norbs. Right.
What the fuck is Norbs anyway? That's your real name? Like, what type of nickname is that? Or
when I decided to do hip-hop, right?
Uh-huh.
When I decided to do it, I had a major death in my family.
Uh-huh.
And his name was Norris, Norberto.
Oh, okay.
And he was the person that really put me onto hip hop. So when he died, I said everything I do from here on forward in terms of hip hop, I would do it in his name.
Gotcha.
So that he died in 98. So I do it in honor of him.
Dope. All right, that makes sense. So your podcast is on, it's called Norbs It All, spelt just like your name. And it's on all digital. If they follow you on your social media, they'll definitely see the podcast. How many episodes you in right now?
Shit, I'm about to drop episode 20 with Hollow on Monday.
Oh, shit.
So 20.
Okay, so that's what it is. Make sure y'all follow his podcast. I would definitely put the link in the description. Is it on YouTube? Because a lot of people like YouTube. Are you going to put it on YouTube?
I'll put some of the clips on YouTube. I kind of want to focus on the
audio, right?
On the streams. Yeah, I like it better. I will put it on YouTube as well. But you can check my. I have it all linked together, so it's no problem.
All right. So, what's the main one that you want people to listen to? Is it the iTunes or like what's the one you push the most? Because this shit is the podcasting thing is different. The iTunes charts. Some of the other ones don't chart like that. Shit is crazy.
Yeah, I don't know. I'm gonna have to pick your brain one day. But I've been pushing most of the iTunes one, the Google Play, and the Spotify. So, whatever, man, whatever one you have, just listen to it. But I know iTunes is the one that's been really getting for me, to be honest with you.
Yes, yes, yes. All right, Norb. So, we gonna wait for some of these battles to drop. Some of these cards to happen, and I'm gonna bring you back, and we gonna talk about. Because Summer Madness 7, a lot of people were disappointed. I know the company was disappointed.
Yeah.
And y'all look like y'all gonna redeem yourself with this SM8. So and tell Beasley he owed me. I'm gonna tell him myself he owed me a check because I'm the one who made up that Super Bowl of battle rap shit. So I made that up. I got the interview where I said that shit, but it is the Super Bowl of battle rap Summer Madness 8. Shout out to all the leagues. Shout out to everybody that's involved with battle rap culture and pushing it forward. I definitely think this was a great year with some of the stumbles and with some of the things that happened. So no matter what league you support, no matter who you fuck with, no matter what, let's everybody start pushing this shit forward. Listen to Norb's podcast, the Norb's It All podcast and shit like that. I've definitely, what am I, episode what? Do you remember?
Shit, I don't know. Your episode... I want to say 12. I think you have something, but it's all listed there. So you have to just, once you click on it, it'll give you the whole listing.
All right. So when they go to the description box, they will be able to, they're going to be able to sign in and listen to your podcast. I'll definitely make sure it's in the description box. And, Norbs, thank you for just taking this, like, this was last minute, like a motherfucker. I just called you, like, yo, let's do an interview real quick. So, that's what it is. Norbs, I'll holler at you later on. Take care of the little one, and we'll chop it up later on.
All right, big bro. Appreciate you.
Peace. Yep. So that was Norb's people. This is Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. You know what I do here. Shout out to everybody that's on the check-in. Shout out to everybody who's going to listen on the playback all over my platforms, Audio Boom, iTunes, Spotify, Stitcher, CastBox, iHeartRadio, Deezer, Google Play, Apple Podcasts. I'm all over everything and shit like that. So shout out to everybody who's been supportive. Shout out to all the battle leagues, all the battlers, everybody who has a lot to do with pushing this culture, battle rap culture forward. And I'm just with it. So, this is Doggy Diamonds. Thank y'all for tuning in. I am out of here. All right. I got to get the fuck out of here. Thank you for listening to Doggy Diamonds No Filter Podcast. If you like this podcast, make sure you share this. Spread the word. Talk about it. Argue with me. I don't give a fuck what you do. Leave a comment. This is Doggy Diamonds. I'm out of here. See you on the next podcast. Peace. Doggy Diamonds did this. Doggy Diamonds did this.